Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Good to see you all this morning. Today we are going to begin a new message series called Life in the Spirit, The Life of Fulfillment. And we'll be in this series dwelling on just a few sentences of Scripture till probably early December, actually. And in part, this comes from what I spoke about the last few weeks. I talked about evil and suffering in this world. What we see there, we see that nature has become dysregulated and less itself because of its creation's estrangement from God, other reasons as well. We see that the qualities and the beauty and the harmony of nature has suffered a diminishment of being. And that is really just the tip of the iceberg, and I believe those messages are on podcast if you want to hear more, because there's a lot more going on there. But that's sort of one summary or one way to look at it. And as we sit here today, we can't fix tsunamis, we can't fix hurricanes, we can't fix cancer. And I firmly believe that all that will happen one day. Creation itself is longing to be put right. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8. That was last week's message. The question is, who are, in the face of all that, in the face of there's like a lot of theology, a lot of philosophy, a lot going on, there's a lot of backdrop, a lot of context. The question is, in the face of all that, who are we? Who are we called to be? Jesus left his disciples a treasure so that they would not miss his physical presence. He gave his disciples the Holy Spirit. And this was, in a way, handing the baton onto what was next. Christians have the opportunity to live life with and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is a life of fulfillment in so many ways. For one, living life according to the leadings of the Spirit is personally fulfilling. You'll see what the list looks like in a moment, and most of us would sign up for that list. Also, though, we're fulfilling Christ's plan to be a people who are sent into the world to bear God's presence. So there's a fulfillment there as well, a fulfillment of mission. So between now and just before Christmas, I want to talk about practicing to be those people who are being fulfilled, who are fulfilling Christ's mission to the world through the Spirit. And I want to look at this topic through a very, very simple lens. It will be the same lens week after week. I'm talking about Galatians 5. I'm going to read the longer passage this week. Most weeks it will just be the last few sentences. But today we're going to start in verse 13 because there's context. Paul tells the believers in Galatia, "You are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. Through love, become servants or slaves to one another. For the whole law, the whole Jewish law that came from Moses, is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law of Moses anymore." We'll see why that is in a moment. "But the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, things like these. I'm warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things." You can do them as often as you want. There's no limits on that. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus, well, they've already crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." Now, over the next several weeks, we'll be focusing on that list in verse 22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the like. referred to as the fruits of the Spirit. We live in the Spirit by syncing up with God. That's how we live in the Spirit. We don't have to work at it. We have to practice it, but it's not work. The Holy Spirit wants to do these works in us. So when we pray, when we do Christian meditation, when we do the Lectio, when we worship, when we blast our favorite praise songs in the car, when we serve out in society to serve people who are in need, we are syncing up with God, and the Spirit will just naturally lead us. Paul says, look, if you want to look at what not living in the Spirit looks like, let's look at the sinful nature. He uses the word flesh here, but it's a bigger concept in Paul. He's not saying that the body is bad. He is saying this is referring to what the body does when we're living according to our most selfish and base nature and where that goes. And it doesn't look good. None of us want to be, oh boy, I had a great time with my friend who is so jealous and angry and envious. Boy, you got to get to know him. I mean, no, we don't think that way, right? We don't want that. We don't want those works in our lives. But Paul says, we have an opportunity to go a totally different direction, life in the Spirit, and that is, again, the life of fulfillment. Paul says it looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what I love about this passage, it is a rubber meets the road kind of passage. Now, my salvation is secure in Christ. I strongly believe that. And on a daily basis, I can also compare my mood that day to that list and say, I'm tracking. Today, I'm not really tracking. I'm missing the mark. I need to slow down. I need to pray. I need to sing. I need to do something to get myself in God's presence. Now, if I will say this, between now and Christmas, if you are perfectly loving, perfectly joyful, perfectly peaceful, you're going to be very bored between now and Christmas. I apologize for that. But if you're like me and you still have a couple rough edges that need some smoothing from time to time, we're going to have a lot of fun growing together and becoming more fulfilled together. One quick apology I am going to offer is that I'm going to start in the middle of the list because I wanted to save the first three topics for Advent. And on Friday, when I decided to start in the middle of the list, I really began to regret it. I mean, really regret it, and I'll tell you why. Friday afternoon is when I'm usually wrapping things up. Usually by then, the message is hopefully polished. Hopefully there's like a nice little electronic glow on it. It's all ready to go. Because I started it early in the week, I thought through it, and I went back several times and said, no, I want to say it that way, or, oh, I thought of this story during the week. That's how I love for it to happen. What happened this week was I was so busy working, and I was so busy doing other things that the church needed that I didn't start my sermon until Friday afternoon. That's very unusual for me. If I'm starting on a Friday afternoon, that's a sign that my schedule got pulled in different directions that I didn't really want to go but chose to go anyway. But I thought, it's okay. I have time here. I've preached on the Holy Spirit before and the fruits of the Spirit. I have time here. So I set out Friday morning just to set aside the day. I will only focus on my message. And just as I decided to do that, several menial things, errands, to-dos, all marked ASAP and urgent, popped up. One of them was an Amazon.com return that I forgot to make, and that was now overdue. I was not sure I would get refunded anyway because it was overdue or if the little code would work when I dropped it off at the UPS store, but I thought, I'm going to try. How hard can this be? I've got the code. I hand them the objects. They take them. I'm done. Then I'll get back on track. There'd be no problem. You know, it's just a few minutes of distraction. So I got to the UPS drop-off location, which is normally very quick, very fast, several attendants scurrying around working at one time. And I walked in the door right into the end of a very long line with one person working. So I took a deep breath. I thought, oh, this is going to be more involved than I thought. And I waited my turn, and I waited, and I waited, and I got up to the counter. Now, there are different kinds of Amazon.com returns that you can make at these stores. Usually, there's one that says, hey, you pack it up yourself, slap the labels on there, hand it to the attendant, get a receipt. There's another one that says, show your phone or print out of your code, and they just take it. They take the item, which is what I thought I had. But apparently, there's a new one. It's a hybrid. It is, show me the code, but pack it yourself. And I didn't know that until I had waited in the long line. And so I could not drop it off. By this point, it was lunchtime, and I was so hungry, I thought, well, this has to get done. I'll go home. I'll grab a bite to eat at home. I'll pack this thing. I'll drop it off, and then I'll be free to work. I'll have at least the afternoon. Maybe it'll be a late day. So I went home, grabbed lunch. The item was packed. Julie happened to be working at home that day, and she was able to pack it. I returned to the store to my second very long line, still with one person working. I had hoped that somebody had gone to lunch and they were coming back. Oh, no. Still one person working. And I was falling further and further behind in the day. Do you know what started to wear thin? My patience. Actually, about 45 minutes before, my patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit, was starting to wear thin. Actually, it had already worn pretty thin. And I was literally calculating how much money I would lose if I just threw these items in the trash and ran away. I was there. A little desperate as I think about it, but I was there. But this time at the UPS store, somebody walked into the store, a family friend that we only see a few years. Her name is Margie, and she is a school psychologist and a friend to St. Andrew's as well. And she walked in the door, and it was great to see her. And I joked to her that my message, we were both standing in this long line. I said, my message on Sunday is on patience, and we laughed about that. It was a great way to change the channel for a few moments. I dropped off the item, was able to catch up with a friend, was ready to get to work. And I was in Urbana, so I decided I'm going to go to one of the kind of the hip Frederick coffee shops. And I thought, well, what's the quickest way to get to Frederick? Well, it's 270. Except it was a Friday afternoon, and it wasn't quick at all. So I drove right on the on-ramp. I couldn't see the freeway from the on-ramp. Drove on the on-ramp into a traffic jam. And my patience had already worn thin. But something Margie communicated stuck with me. She said, you know, I think of patience as the ability to recognize that the moment may have something different in store for you than what you intended. That the moment may have something different in store for you than what you intended. And there's a lot of power in recognizing and embracing that. Well, I agree with that very much. And it requires pivoting. And pivoting to a different frame of mind or state of the heart is difficult when the body is filled with the emotion of frustration. Have you ever noticed that? Just a quick tip. If you're ever at odds with somebody, that conversation is not going to shift until you can start shifting it in the body. So I want to talk for a few moments about impatience and what sets us up for that. What are the dynamics of impatience? And how does patience get worn thin? The first one I want to talk about is expectation. Now, expectation is all around. One area expectation pops up is around, well, the exchange of money and exchange of time. Years ago, my eldest daughter, Allie, was working 40 hours a week in the fast food industry during the summer. She was trying to help pay for college. She's a hard worker. She's a very sincere and diligent person. She is polite. She is helpful. And she was working in the fast food industry. That's an interesting phrase when you think about it. Like, what about food is supposed to be fast? Like, we don't feel better when we eat it quickly. What about food is supposed to be fast? But that's the term, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and that in itself speaks volumes about our society. One day she came home and said, wow, I just realized that none of the customers yelled at me today. And I said, what do you mean? She said, oh, on most days, at least one customer yells at me. Really? Over fast food? Because the food wasn't fast enough, or maybe the order was incorrect, which takes time to correct, so now it's slow. You know, think about it. We human beings, we are interesting with regard to expectation. We expect our cars to never break. We expect our tires to never need air. We expect for the internet to always be up and available. We expect that the power will always be on. We expect fallible human beings to perform with perfection all the time and never make mistakes or let us down, and for our food to always be fast. Does that sound realistic to you? I was thinking, you know, how we set our expectations and how narrowly we set our expectations about life and other people is the amount to which we are setting ourselves up for moments of impatience. How narrowly we set our expectations is proportionate to the amount of impatience we are setting ourselves up for in life. Narrow expectations of people and about life will bounce back to us. They will bounce right back to us, and we will experience impatience. Expectations, very important in this conversation. There's another, lack of control. Lack of control along with expectations, they're like the dynamic duo of impatience. They're like the ingredients. Let's throw some expectation in this, you know, like my expectation. Like, I'm just going to saunter in that store. Here's your package. You're going to do all the packing. I'm sauntering out, working on my message. No, that didn't work. And then the dynamic duo is like, let's just throw in a traffic jam on I-270. Let's just throw that in. Lack of control. I couldn't control how many attendants were working in the store. I couldn't control how many people were driving on 270. I would have loved that. When I was on 270 driving, by that point, I was like, okay, God, I know what you're doing here. I got it. It's late in the week, God. I really just wanted you to give me some words to tell other people about patience. I wasn't saying I actually wanted to practice it today. But that's the way it worked out. It's out of my control. Completely out of my control. And that's when I realized, okay, I'm in God's gym right now. I'm in God's spiritual gym. It's time to slow down. It's time to take a breath. It's time to say whatever. And that's the spiritual surrender around patience. The spiritual work is to realize that the world out there is not working one bit to meet your expectations. It's not working toward that. That's not what's going on out there. And until divine powers are granted to any of us, we don't have a lot of control over what goes on out there. So one step toward patience is to accept these truths about expectations and lack of control and to decide who we want to be when life doesn't show up according to our plans. This is the power, this is the path that leads to patience. It is acceptance. And acceptance is the way to stay sane when you feel impatient. Flexibility, acceptance. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. Well, there I was on 270 just realizing, okay, God, you got me. All right, like I am the sermon this week. I got it. And I'm going to grow. I don't want to right now, but I'm going to. I'm going to do this work and I'm going to grow. I was called to walk it. Eventually, I got over myself. I finally made it to the coffee shop. And I thought, okay, I've got to shift this here. So I thought, how can I shift this? I thought, won't it be wonderful to share a few moments with this lovely group of people called St. Andrews? What a privilege that I have, that I get to do that and carry God's word to people. I thought, this is a blessing, okay. I can enjoy this. I can enjoy it. And I started to type, and I thought, this is going to be kind of funny to tell them about how, you know, like how wound up I got about stuff that wasn't really that important. And so I was typing and writing, and as I was wrapping up this message, a banner on my computer interrupted me. I thought I had a no interrupted, but I was interrupted. But the email was the email notification on the computer that my return that was late, it was actually accepted, and that it all worked out. That it all worked out despite my impatience. It also, as I'm reflecting, could have worked out had I been peaceful and unworried about it the whole time. See? The end result is often the same. The question is, what do we put ourselves through and other people through when we're impatient? So as you think about impatience, expectations, attempts, we all do it, to control the people and the circumstances around us, where are you a little stuck? Where are you feeling impatient? Where is life stuck? Maybe it's a relationship. A spouse, a family, part of the family, a child, maybe it's work. Maybe it's your spiritual life with God. Maybe it's your health. Something you want it to be a certain way, but it's no matter how hard you push, it's not. By the time I got in that traffic jam on 270, I had this sense that the harder I pushed against circumstances of my life, the worse it was going to get that day, so I better make a shift. If it's appropriate in whatever situation comes to your mind, if it's appropriate, what would happen if there was a level of acceptance or flexibility? Like in areas of abuse and stuff like that, that's not appropriate. That, we don't want you to accept that. We want you to change. We want you to get help. But I'm saying in more mundane areas in life, what if there was a level of acceptance or flexibility? What might shift? How might you change? And what if there's a person, if you practice a different kind of love or openness and acceptance that came from the depths of God's Spirit in you, what might be transformed? I think one thing that might naturally emerge in you is patience. Because patience is the sign of God's Spirit at work within us. Let's pray. Almighty God, we modern people have chosen to be busy. We forgot that we chose that. Sometimes we're not aware of how often we choose it, but we're busy. We manage too many details and situations and errands and responsibilities. And maybe because we can pull all that off sometimes, we expect that we can always pull it off. Teach us to be the same person in long lines as in short lines, in traffic jams as when we're going the speed limit. Teach us to be present and still. Teach us to be patient when someone we know needs to talk and they need a human being to listen. Teach us to be accepting and flexible when the world, our relationships, the human beings around us don't show up the way that we want them to. Teach us about the ways we sabotage ourselves and lead us deeper in the life of your Holy Spirit. Grow the fruits of the Spirit in our hearts and minds. Show us that when patience is present, the Holy Spirit is also at work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.